to the Michael Rivero What Really Happened radio program.
And aloha, America. Welcome to our show. It's Thursday. We're almost through this somewhat shortened week because of the holiday weekend last weekend. But boy, I'll tell you, there's enough news to fill it up anyway, and not all of it is good. In fact, very little of it is good. Huge earthquake off the coast of Honduras earlier today, and that rattled a lot of stuff. Our phone number here at the Genesis Communication Network is 800-259-9231, 800-259-9231. Matt is in the control room, twiddling the dials, ready to answer your call when you call in and put you on the air to complain about whatever it is that is annoying you today, and there's a lot out there. Okay, starting with the economy real quick, the Dow ended up 103 points. You know, earlier the week, it was really up, and then it was really down, and now it's sort of kind of up today. And this is the funny thing, because I went over to the financial news, and boy, I tell you, tune into CNBC. No matter what's going on in the world, they're saying, it's a great time to buy the stocks, you know. And, you know, tsunami's coming, going to wipe out your island. Great time to buy stocks in beach furniture. And just completely whack over there, and they're just trying to push and push and push and buy stocks and buy stocks and buy stocks. I guess that's what their job is over there. But turning to the financial news and reading this, they're putting the explanation, because a lot of people are scratching their heads and saying, why is the stock market going up when so much of the financial news is so negative? And they're saying that oil prices went up. We knew. We're seeing it at the gas pump. Oil prices are headed back up again. It's $3 a gallon here in Hawaii. And, you know, it always seems to go up when it's time to do your summer vacations. Yeah, of course. They got you. They got you by the short and curlies there. So the oil company stocks went up, and the rest of it was based on what was called positive debt auction results. It's a very fancy term saying that, you know, the stock market was being dragged down by concern that we're not going to find anybody who is willing to buy any more of the U.S. government debt, which is a valid concern. You know, how are we going to pay for all this stuff that the government is spending left and right and up and down and front and back? And what it turns out, though, is if you dig really, really deeply into what's going on here, most of the U.S. debt right now is being bought by the Federal Reserve Bank. They're just printing up a bunch more money, and they're buying that debt with it. And it's a bookkeeping trick is all it is, to try and say, yes, we're finding buyers for the debt and everything's going to be all hunky-dory. If it weren't for the Federal Reserve buying the debt, there'd be hardly anybody out there who wants to buy any more of it, because the risk is definitely, definitely there. And so, and again, I've said this so many times before, the problem with having a government that's made up of lawyers and bookkeepers, essentially, is every solution to every problem is let's change the laws and let's change the way that we do the accounting just to make it look like it's really good. And they're not addressing the fundamental issue. We're going to get to that in a little bit here. Now, along with this positive debt auction, which drives the stock market up, the Dow up 103 points, durable good orders are basically at their lowest since 1996, more than 10 years, decade low, at an absolute decade low. Durable goods are the big ticket items like washing machines, refrigerators, dishwashers, that kind of, you know, the durable good, the stuff that's supposed to last 10, 15, 20 years after you buy it. Those orders are basically way, way down. Okay, and that's not a good sign. It basically has been, it's a 13-year low. Meanwhile, the number of Americans collecting unemployment insurance reached a 17th straight record. There is no sign of improvement out there at all, at all, at all. We're still hearing this thing. If you were listening to the break here, they're saying, well, not quite as many people filed for unemployment benefits last week as we thought they might, therefore this is good news. And yet they turn around and say, you know, unemployment is still now up around officially 8% of the American population. That's almost 1 in 10 people are out of a job right now. And no relief in sight for that. Now, after all the billions and billions of dollars that we have been pouring into the big three automakers, it's happened. General Motors is declaring bankruptcy effective June the 1st. They're going to basically reform the company and start it up again under U.S. government ownership. I remember when the United States government broke up AT&T and created all the little mini bells, and what a wonderful situation that created. You know, government management here. So you know, after all the money we poured in there, we're not going to get it back. We're stuck for it. We're stuck for that bill. The taxpayers are stuck for all that money that went into GM. And get this, we're still paying General Motors another few billion dollars to help them go out of business. I mean, you know, give me a couple of $100 million. I'll go out of business right now today. You'll never see from me again. It's just, it's amazing out there. These big companies, they're going bust, and our government is just pouring money on them like it's going out of style. Like it's not their really their money, and it really isn't here. Now, here's where it gets really, really ugly, okay? Right now in the United States, one out of every eight homes is either behind on their mortgage or already in foreclosure. One out of every eight, 12%. Sorry about that sound. I keep forgetting to turn that off there. That's off now. One out of eight homes is delinquent on the mortgage or already in foreclosure. One out of every eight. And this is not the subprime mortgage market anymore. We're talking about good credit borrowers with prime mortgages, 1A, the very best you can get. They're in trouble now. The entire economy is dissolving, starting with the working class. Now it's up into the middle class, the good credit risks. They're starting to come apart. They're starting to come apart. And almost 6% of the fixed-rate mortgages with good credit, they're in foreclosure. So this is no longer something you can blame on those darn subprime home borrowers who bought homes they couldn't afford. Because remember, when they bought them, they could afford them. It wasn't until our jobs got taken away by the U.S. government and its reckless, ill-considered tax policy for the corporations that we got into these troubles. So, one out of every eight homes, delinquent or already in foreclosure. That's depression level, people. That is depression level. Forget recession anymore. We are in a depression, and it is going to get worse. Now, we are hearing from Fitch Ratings that a lot of the mortgages, remember, everybody was doing a refi. That was part of how we were going to get out of this mess. That was part of the reason we were told for the TARP money to go out to the banks so that they would be willing to refinance the mortgages and shuffle it around a little bit more. Fitch Ratings is now saying most of these newly modified and refinanced mortgages are also going to go back into default. The reason is there's no money coming into the bottom of the economy. There are no jobs. There is no money. The rich and powerful are sucking all the money up to themselves and hanging on to it because they don't know what else to do except maybe start a war. And here is the kicker. USA Today, this is not some wacko, weirdo conspiracy site, but I'm giving the site because it's important you understand this. USA Today is reporting federal tax revenues have dropped 44% since this time last year. Now, in the article, they're talking about 6 million people have lost their jobs in the last 12 months, ending in April, and that means far fewer dollars from income taxes. Income tax revenue dropped 44% from a year ago. Okay, the numbers do not work out. 6 million lost jobs do not account for a 44% decline in tax revenues. A 44% decline in tax revenues means roughly that all working Americans have lost almost half of their earnings ability. Now, as I mentioned before, the unemployment figure, even at 8%, does not tell the whole story because people who had high-paying jobs and who've lost them and they're having to take low-paying jobs or they're working two or three part-time jobs and they're barely getting by, they're still considered employed. So they go on the employed part of the column and the government says, oh, look, we only have an 8% unemployment. But the reality is that if there's a 44% drop in federal tax revenues, it means there's a 44% drop in the earning ability of all Americans. We are all earning 44% less money than we were this time last year because major American corporations took the high-paying manufacturing jobs we all had and that supported the working and middle classes, and they sent them to other countries. And that is why we're in the mess that we're in. And until we get those jobs back, the economy cannot be saved. It is doomed with a capital D on the front of it. We'll be back after these words from our sponsors.
This is Cascadia Public Radio.
Some of maxed out all their credit cards. Some are working two jobs and living in cars. Minimum wage won't pay for a roof, won't pay for a drink. If you gotta have proof, just scratch yourself, Mr. CEO. See how far 5:15 an hour will go. Take a part-time job at one of your stores. I bet you can't make it here anymore.
Aloha, America. Welcome back. We're talking about, we've been talking about the economy. We've got a lot of other stuff to talk about. Before we do that, we've got a couple of callers waiting on the line. We're going to start with Gil in Texas. Aloha, Gil. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind today?
Aloha. I'm going to say I saw Obama with Abbas talking about his idea of a Palestinian state. But since we're talking about the economy, I got a question for you.
Yeah.
Since the U.S. government decided to buy all the toxic assets of the failing companies, and they're now in treasury bonds, what happens when all those problems start popping up in our treasury bonds? What do you think?
I think the idea is that they're just going to shuffle them around.
Yes.
I mean, basically, in the long term, they're going to put these losses onto the American people. We're going to be expected to cover all of these losses, all the derivatives, all the unwinding. This is why we put $12.8 trillion into the financial system so far, and we're not seeing it come back to the people. Remember, they were saying this is going to ease up credit. You're going to be able to get loans and stuff. It's not happening. Credit cards are shutting down their entire line of business. We heard on the news break, Bank of America is raising fees to cover their losses. And it's just getting worse. We're throwing good money after bad, and basically we are in a fascist economy, which is profits are kept private, but losses are socialized, and that's what all these bailouts amount to, taking the losses from the Wall Street brokerages and banks that created this mess and spreading them around on the people like a layer of manure in the hopes that we will somehow bloom and grow from all of this abuse.
What happens when it fails?
I think the whole thing's going to start coming apart in the next couple of months.
How soon?
I think it could start happening in the next couple of months because, when the Federal Reserve is buying the national debt, with more funny money, which represents more national debt, it's basically, it's kiting the debt is what it's doing.
So it's not just snowballing. Instead of falling down a 45-degree angle, it's falling down a 90-degree angle.
Yeah, it's getting there. Yeah, and I think what they're trying to do is to avoid the hyperinflation from showing up in the regular consumer level.
Tell me, you think this agreement he's hinting about making with the Palestinians could exacerbate an economic problem here in the States? You know, seeing that the Jewish people were at one time owned quite a bit of the United States, you think that's going to probably hurt the situation, huh?
Well, I think that Barack Obama is trying to look good for the American people who are concerned about what Israel is doing to the Palestinians with our money. But I think in the end, he's not going to be any more successful than any other American president. I mean, Israel has got a lock on our government through AIPAC, and they're not going to let go. And, they're already pushing now for new laws in the United States to make it a crime to criticize Israel or say anything bad about them.
Well, he's going to lose his popularity with that country.
He's losing his popularity here. He's losing his popularity here right now.
So the mask is slowly coming off, is what you're saying.
Yeah, I think it's fallen off completely. I mean, we're already hearing calls for him to resign over his failure to keep any of his campaign promises at this point.
I've never seen a president so traveled in his first few months as president. He's never in Washington.
He's out there making speeches. He's a store mannequin. He looks good in a suit.
He's on his way to Egypt next week.
Oh, well, I've always wanted to visit Egypt. We'll see what happens. Gil, I got to let you go. Thanks a lot. And we're going to switch over to Warren in New Hampshire. Warren, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind today?
Hello.
Yes.
Yeah, Michael.
Yes.
You're talking about the economy?
Yes.
And what I'm curious about is I've listened to Alex for like 12, 13 years,
mm-hmm.
and I don't understand why people go around in circles with this. Do you understand what I'm saying?
No, go around in circles with what?
Okay, when somebody turned told me, because I've listened to Alex for 12 years, 13 years, and everybody goes around in circles, and when you broadcast to the people, okay, they get their belief system is on this fiat money system. Okay,
mm-hmm.
all the people have to understand, You can use the same money, the same phony dollar bills, but what I'm saying is no taxation, none of this. In other words, people take control of their money supply again. Everybody's controlled by the money supply. I can make you, break you, make a bank, anything. It's economic warfare is what it is. People have
yeah,
to understand
it's,
that.
Yeah, it's the old Rothschild thing. Give me control of a nation's money supply, and I care not who makes the laws. And we had that system when we founded the United States of America, where the Treasury issued the money, and we, the people, could use it as a medium of exchange without having to pay interest on it. And the government of the United States and President Woodrow Wilson and the Congress sold us out to the private bankers when the Federal Reserve was established.
Okay, now why can't people just see that?
I think a lot of people do. I think a lot of people do right now, and they're trying to start up alternate money systems. But as we saw with the Ron Paul dollar last year, the government comes in and says you will use the Federal Reserve's fiat currency. It's debt-based currency. You're not allowed to use any other money. We're seeing more and more people start to get away from that, and it's certainly within the president's authority and the Treasury Department's authority to start issuing their own money. But the last two presidents who did that wound up shot to death.
Right. You're right. And when you control a nation's money supply, you're controlling the presidency, everything. So all these things that people think that the president makes orders, the Congress makes laws, the Senate makes laws, it's not true. It's really not that hard to see. Once you see that, then you can take a step forward into creating your own money supply. I believe in this country, back in the 1800s or something, I believe we had 50, 60 different currencies. I don't know. And because people were wise to it at that time because it was still fresh from England. The forefathers had it, right? People say they were brilliant, but the only thing they knew was the way it was in England. They came over here because they didn't want to live like that anymore.
That's exactly right. They'd seen all the mistakes get made. They came over here. They set up a government. And I keep remembering Ben Franklin when he's walking out of Independence Hall in Philadelphia. And they asked him, what have you done? He said, we've created a republic if you can keep it. Okay, Warren, we're going to let you go here. And thank you for the call. We're going to switch real quick to Leo in Massachusetts. Aloha, Leo. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind today?
Hi. Thanks for taking the call. On the 45% drop in the revenues. Now, you said that was a USA Today article?
Yes.
Is that just out today?
Yeah, it's just out. It's also linked to the front of whatreallyhappened.com.
Oh, great. I was just wondering if there are any follow-up people who are doing really... Are you going to do a follow-up article and do some great analysis on it like you just did?
Well,
you know,
I
put it out in the URL.
I added my comments to the bottom of the article on the front page of whatreallyhappened.com, where I said this idea, you know, because within the article itself in USA Today, they're saying 6 million people lost their jobs and we've had a 44% drop in income tax revenues. And the first thing I said, the numbers don't work out because 6 million people losing their jobs doesn't create that much of a drop in the federal tax revenue.
So do you have a permalink to that so that I could link back to it and send it out to my email list?
Yes, you can. Just go to whatreallyhappened.com and you can find it. We got to let you go and take a break for some commercials. We'll be back after these words from our sponsors. America, welcome back to our show here. I want to talk a little bit about the torture scandal. This is not going away. The fact that Barack Obama reversed his decision on allowing the pictures out actually wasn't his decision. It's a court order. The courts have ordered these pictures must be released in their entirety. And Obama said he was going to do it, and then he apparently took a look. Some of them said, whoa, we can't let these things out. And said they're not being released. But don't worry, they don't show anything sensational or shocking compared to what you've already seen. which raised a lot of eyebrows at that point. We are hearing from multiple sources from individuals who claim to have seen some of these pictures now, that they do, in fact, confirm allegations by many of the prisoners themselves and by reporter Cy Hirsch, that they do show rape and abuse and sodomy. And so we're getting into this war of words between the White House and the Pentagon and the British press, where the British press is reporting. Yeah, these things do show these horrible acts being done. And the White House and Pentagon saying, no, we wouldn't sexually abuse the prisoners. We'll torture them. That's legal. But sexual abuse? Nah. We don't do that kind of thing. And it's a really horrific war of words, and who knows where it's going to go. But, you know, the bottom line is Obama has, he's really wrecked this whole situation by, first of all, withholding the photos, then claiming they didn't show anything sensational. Now the story is broken saying that they do, and Obama's credibility is going to take a major, major hit here. But the reason I brought this up, in brief, is we need to be very careful at this point. The U.S. government is desperate to protect its image because it realizes its credibility and its legitimacy are dissolving incredibly fast right now. And I want to remind everybody about a dirty trick that the U.S. government pulled back in 2004 when we first began to hear about the abuses of Abu Ghraib. And back then the government was saying, well, it's just a few, you know, over-enthusiastic, you know, people, guards in the camp, they're doing it, you know, they weren't authorized to do it, it's not policy, and, you know, we're going to treat them badly. And then all of a sudden, a bunch of photos showed up, which purported to show soldiers committing sexual acts with an Iraqi woman. And a lot of newspapers fell for it, including the Boston Globe, and they ran the pictures and said, we've got photographic proof of what's going on. It was a setup. It was a setup. These pictures were actually from a pornographic production on a website. They weren't real. They weren't from Abu Ghraib. The woman was basically an adult star model playing a role, as they do. And every newspaper and every website that published these pictures was attacked for smearing the U.S. forces and aiding al-Qaeda and the enemy by showing these very obviously phony photos from a porn site and trying to claim that they were from Abu Ghraib. Now, this is a tactic called poisoning the well. And the reason I bring it up is we are already seeing indications that certain people inside the U.S. government, inside the Pentagon, inside CIA, they're going to try the same trick already again. They're going to start sending these pictures around that appear to show these sexual acts, and they're going to say, these are some of the photos Obama doesn't want you to see. Folks, be very, very careful about this, because there's a lot of dirty trickery out there. And, you know, the government doesn't like to play fair. They want you to play fair because that makes you weak. That means that there are things that you won't do that they can do, and that gives them a natural advantage. So you've got to be very, very careful about some of the photos that are probably going to be sent around and say, these are being leaked out and so forth and so on, and be appropriately cautious about them. Because even the Boston Globe got burned on this back in 2004. All right, moving right along here, we want to get on to the situation here in Korea. The Macedonian news, Greek news, and a couple of other sources as well are saying that the United States forces in South Korea are holding at DEFCON 2. This is one short of all-out war. The U.S. mainland is still on DEFCON 4, which is kind of their normal status. I don't think we ever go to DEFCON 5. And it's really interesting because the United States is trying to make out that North Korea is the bad guy for all this belligerent talk and all of this tough talk and so forth and so on. And again, it is spinning what is really being said, because if you get past all the hype about, you know, North Korea threatens attacks and North Korea says the truce is no longer in effect, and you actually go back to the primary sources and see what's going on, you'll find out it's about as real as the claim that Ahmadinejad said he was going to wipe Israel off the map. It's mistranslation, it's spin, it's propaganda. What Kim Jong-il is saying is, if my country is attacked, we will fight back. That is what he is saying, and that is a perfectly reasonable thing for Kim Jong-il to say. because you've had the United States and Japan and South Korea saying, we're going to interdict your shipping and we're going to sail into your territorial waters and we're going to do this and we're going to do that. That's the aggression. That's the aggression. All Kim Jong-il is saying is, stay away from my country. Leave us alone. If you grab our ships, if you invade our territory, we will fight back. That's what he's saying. Now, as far as this thing about ending the truce, folks, it is the world's longest ongoing, unresolved ceasefire. Because what Kim Jong-il is talking about is the truce that halted the Korean War. The Korean War never technically ended. It's still going on. Nobody ever said, I won. Nobody ever said, I lost. They said, we're going to stop fighting for a while and see what happens. That was 56 years ago. So what Kim Jong-il is saying, okay, it's been 56 years of glaring at each other over the demilitarized zone. Okay, it's time for us to scrap the temporary ceasefire and say, okay, let's have a permanent peace. Let's have North Korea in the United Nations. And frankly, if you want to end this nuclear crisis, and I know our government doesn't want to because they're using it for all, you know, keep the American people scared, keep them shoveling the money into the tax furnace to buy weapons and bombs and all that really cool stuff. But if we wanted to end this, it's really very simple. Just invite North Korea to sign the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty. The IAEA goes in, takes a look at all the reactors, takes a look at their bomb facility, and says, yes, they've got reactors and that they bought from the United States, and they've got bombs, which we have, you know, they're not hiding them. They're saying, yeah, we got bombs. Here they are, you know. And get North Korea to sign the NNPT, and that will be it. North Korea will be a member of the nuclear nations, and that will be the end of the story. It is the United States that is attempting to turn this into a crisis justifying a military intervention. And it is a very, very dangerous situation because, yes, North Korea does have nuclear weapons. And they seem very confident that they can put them where they need to put them. But right now we have the United States that is in such dire economic trouble. I mean, you just heard the thing we were talking about. Americans are earning, you know, they've dropped almost 44% of their earning ability just in the last year. We can't support this government the way it's going right now. With all the money that's spending on Wall Street, and all the money it's spending on Iraq, and all the money it's spending on Afghanistan, and all the money it's spending on Israel, we can't afford to keep up the payments. Government has become too expensive. And so what the government is trying to do is they're trying to get a major, major war going. Not Iraq, not Afghanistan, but like a new world war. In the hope that we, the American people, will forget all of the differences of opinion and all the problems and all the torture and all the lies and all the cheating, and that we will line it behind the American flag as good little loyal Americans the way we did in World War I and World War II. And that the U.S. will use a world war to get out of its financial troubles for the third time in a row. And at this point, they don't care who the war is with. Iran, great. Pakistan, almost as good. North Korea, yeah, okay, why not? And, you know, it's almost like I put up that clip from the movie Canadian Bacon, where they're trying to find out who they can use as an enemy now. And it's linked to the front of my website. You should go see it. Michael Moore was a genius on that movie. We'll be back after these words from our sponsors.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN, great talk radio starts here.
Welcome to the Michael Rivero What Really Happened radio program. Call Mike now at 800-259-9231. 800-259-9231.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the last segment of our show today. I've got a couple of quick stories I want to talk about. First of all, as you know, about a year ago, the United States Supreme Court ruled that the Second Amendment of the Constitution conveys an individual right to the American citizens to keep and bear firearms, and they overturned the gun ban in Washington, D.C. Okay, the statistics are in. Guns are up in D.C. Everybody went out and bought guns, and not surprisingly, crime and violence has dropped. So once again, it is shown this social engineering experiment that if we make everybody helpless, we'll all live together in peace. It does not work. An armed citizenry is a safe citizenry. We had our little PSA that we run here on this last break here, and it's absolutely, absolutely true. So, now, one more, and then I've got a caller on the line. I'm going to get to you in just a minute, but I just wanted to comment on this real quick. One of the global warming cults' chief arguments is that if ocean temperatures raise just a few degrees, even just a little bit, it's going to destroy the corals that are making the reefs, and without the reefs, there won't be any reef fish. Without the reef fish, the entire ocean food chain will collapse, and we will all starve to death because we didn't want to give up our SUVs. Well, some research has just come in on that one. Apparently, and it should not be a surprise to anybody, corals actually do better the warmer the water is. I guess that's why we have so many coral reefs here in the warm tropic parts to the ocean, and very, very few of them up there by the Arctic. So once again, the rhetoric for global warming is long, and the science is actually short. We're going to go to the phones. Mike in Georgia. Aloha, Mike. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hello. How are you this evening, Mr. Rivero?
I'm doing fine. What can we do for you?
Mostly I wanted to ask you about what your feeling was on the credibility of the report that's been coming out about the child assault that took place in Abu Ghraib.
Well, I think it's very credible because this is a tactic that the CIA was using down in South America during Pinochet. It was a very common situation where they would abuse or torture the child and make the parents watch to try and obtain information. So there's hardly this is hardly a new development. As far as, you know, we get into this he said, she said game and denials, you have to remember right now, the U.S. government's credibility is totally, totally shot. It is gone. Ever since we found out there really weren't any weapons of mass destruction in Iraq, the burden of proof is on the government to prove that what they're saying is true. And at this point, it is easier for we, the people, to keep track of how many times the government tells the truth rather than just keep track of all the thousands of times they're lying to us. It's going to be a much easier task here. In fact, we could probably use the fingers of just one hand. So as far as credibility, at this point, I'm going to assume the worst on the part of the U.S. government because they've lived up to it.
Do you believe that the photographs that Obama is holding include photographs of that?
This is what we're getting from the British press, and so I would tend to say that, yeah, probably they do. And
anybody else in the United States that's holding child pornography, you know, would be arrested for being in possession.
Boy, you raise a very good point. I hadn't thought of that before, but you're absolutely right. If Obama has seen these, then he needs to be arrested for child porn.
That's as it was described in what I'm reading. That seems to be the situation. Anybody else in the United States that was holding a photograph of an adult sexually assaulting a child would be arrested for having the photograph.
That's exactly right. You raise a very, very good point, and thank you for that.
Okay, well, thank you.
All right, have a good day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Right, that's absolutely a very good point. These photographs, which Cy Hirsch has, he's seen them, he's talked about them, he's reported on them. There is a video of Iraqi children being sodomized in front of their mothers to get the mothers to talk. That is child porn. That is child porn. It is against American law. I mean, that the female soldier who took the video, she needs to go to jail. Everybody who's got a copy of that video, they need to go to jail. We have child pornography laws to protect children from exploitation. These have to come into bear here. And, that's a very, very excellent point. We've got people in the chat room who are chiming in saying, excellent point. All right, last story I want to cover today. Actually, I've got two more stories here, and the first one's really short. Over at the National Archives, this is supposed to be the depository of all the records of our country for future history. Apparently, somehow, in the last, well, they don't really know when it happened, but apparently, some 2 terabytes of records from the Clinton administration were moved from their regular high-reliability storage onto a consumer level 2 terabyte external USB storage drive. You can get those at Office Depot for like about $300 now. Consumer grade. High failure rate, not exactly reliable, although the one that we have backing us up here seems to do very, very well. But here's the point. This consumer level, very small physical device, has vanished, and with it, all of these various records from the Clinton administration. this is going to be very convenient for our Secretary of State if she decides she wants to try for the vice president slot come 2012. Because there were a lot of things on those records, such as the travel office firings, that were a potential embarrassment during her presidential run. And so maybe some house is being cleaned. The problem is, it's our house, the National Archives. Everything in the National Archives belongs to we the people. Our taxes pay for it. Our taxes were spent to collect it all together. It is our property. People should not be walking out of there with anything. It does happen all the time. John F. Kennedy's brain vanished from inside the National Archives. All kinds of stuff disappears into that Orwellian black hole. Now, final story for the day. We've been talking about these advertising campaigns we're seeing all over for the Humane Society of the United States and the ASPCA, and a lot of fundraising about these poor animals. And I love animals. Don't get me wrong. I love animals and I love dogs. And the latest one is Pamela Anderson has a new video out for PETA, the People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, and talking about how chickens are basically, it's not pleasant the way that they're killed in order to wrap them up in clear plastic and white styrofoam and put them on the supermarket counter for you. And, you know, the process of the slaughterhouse, it is not pleasant, even under the best of circumstances. Now, my problem here is we're seeing all these videos about, you know, save the poor animals and all the rest of that. And we've got these, you know, big Hollywood celebrities saying, oh, we've got to treat our animal buddies like, you know, really cool and all the rest of it. And like I said, I like animals. But where are the big name Hollywood celebrities with the courage to stand up and say, let us prevent abuse to children in war zones? And I think it is the height of the hypocrisy of our society. We're becoming schizophrenic. We really, really are. Because on the one hand, we've got all this torture and rape and murder and white phosphorus going on over in these countries that we've invaded for no really good reason at all. And then we're trying to reassure ourselves that we're decent and moral human beings because we're going to take care of the stray cats and the stray dogs, and we're going to put little red stars on Miss California's so-called topless photos to prove that we're really moral human beings. And some of us will go to church on Sunday and say, you know, dear deity, whatever it is they're praying to, forgive me and tell me that I'm really a good human being and I don't need to do anything more about that. And we're literally being driven into this schizophrenic break between what we like to think of ourselves as being moral and just human beings and humane and merciful and caring, and the reality of what our nation is doing in pretty much all over the entire world. And so I don't have an issue with Pamela Anderson. And great that she's out there wanting to do something to ease the suffering of animals because, yes, if you're packing animals for food, there is a merciful way to kill them and then there's a not-so-merciful way to kill them. And, you know, some attention should be paid to that. But can't it wait until after we end the practice of locking little kids in metal boxes full of insects? Because ultimately, I think human beings have to come first. I really, really do. I love animals. I feel bad for stray cats and stray dogs and everything. But unfortunately, they have to come behind my fellow human being. And right now, across the globe, thousands of human beings are suffering needlessly because of the United States war policies, political policies. We are torturing people. We have tortured some of them to death. We must fix this before we can hold our heads up and say we are a decent, kind, and moral, great nation. And all the animal commercials in the world isn't going to change that. That's it for our show today. We're going to be back tomorrow for our Friday show. Until then, stay safe, be well, hug your loved ones. Share this show with everybody you know on every social networking site you know. Get the word out there. Get the listeners in here. And aloha, America.